This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello to our cat-loving friends. Today's a little bit of a different topic. It's not so much about cats as how Rita and I got here, and that was through, unfortunately, the late, really great Richard Simmons.
Oh, just hearing you say that.
I know. So we're going to take a break to hear this word from our amazing sponsor. We are so grateful to them. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about our personal experiences with Richard and a side of Richard that I don't think everybody knows. We'll be back shortly. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat fantastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, ComfortDiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today, because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with my BFF, my ride or die, the woman that I only know because of Richard Simmons, Rita Reimers.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're only here because of Richard. If neither one of us had worked for Richard, this wouldn't be here.
True story.
We wouldn't have 19 Cats and Counting. We wouldn't have Cat Behavior Alliance. We wouldn't have had Just for Cats Pet Sitting. And we wouldn't know each other.
And you know, Rita, people know what they see on television. And I don't know about you, but that was the number one question. What's he really like?
Is he really like that? Does he really run around like that?
And the answer is,
yes. He's exhausting, but in an exhilarating kind of way.
Yeah, it's tiring sometimes. It was tiring. Oh, I'm having problems speaking of in the past tense. It could be very exhausting spending time with him and all that energy, but he was so amazing and he did so much for us that we'd really like to share some of our personal stories.
So we're writing a book actually about the Richard we knew, and the way we're going to organize it, let's kind of do this podcast that way.
Okay.
We're going to tell Linda's story. We're going to tell my story. And then we're going to tell the story of CBA, which a lot of you already know. But Linda, how did you get involved with Richard Simmons, of all people?
So, you know, it's the story of everyone. I'm overweight. I've tried a million things. I run across Deal-A-Meal. Don't think I'm going to buy it, because even though it was only like $9.95, I felt like that was a waste of $9.95.
But
I got it. I lost the weight. I wrote him a letter. I get a phone call from Elijah Jones, who I knew from his book, saying that I was going to be the Cinderella for the next newsletter. And I was beyond overjoyed. There is no word, right? There is no word. And then Elijah said that Richard would be coming near me in Indiana. And so I got my husband at the time, Dan, to take me to this women's expo with all of like 10 men and 8,000 women. And I got to meet Richard personally, and it was the craziest feeling, because he was kind of my imaginary friend. You know, like I would be like, I need to take a walk, but I'd rather sit down and eat a bowl of chips. What if Richard came to the door right now?
Yeah,
what
he
do
was
I want?
Doing that stuff.
He was. Then. And I used to, true story, I used to think, do I want my kids to answer the door and say, mom's on a walk, or just a minute, let mom get her face out of the chips? And I chose the walk, okay? So I got to meet him. And the next thing I know, I was invited to do QVC, I think was the next thing that I did with him. I had a blast and was truly Cinderella.
Do you have your magazine next to you?
I do not. Oh! I do have a picture of it. I'll try to bring it up real quick. Okay. And flash it for those who are watching the video portion. But from there, it went on to other things. Like, yeah, I got to do some infomercials, the cover of Women's World magazine. I got to do some really fun things. If you have ever seen the movie What Women Want with Mel Gibson, there is a clip in there from an infomercial. That's me in the black dress, much younger and thinner.
We have the clip, but I don't think we can distribute it. Because
I don't think so, because
it's
Sony,
copyrighted.
Or Paramount owns it, yeah.
Paramount owns it. So, Linda, tell us about the phone call you got about that.
Yeah, so I'm at home. And yeah, I've got to understand, I live in small town Ohio. And the phone rings. And this voice says, my name is Beth Unger Morrison, and I work for Paramount Pictures. And I'm thinking, lady, you got the wrong number. And then she went on to say how she got my number, which was Richard's manager. So I'm like, okay. And then she starts telling me we're making this movie with Mel Gibson. And he's going to be this very macho kind of guy.
He was a misogynist.
Thank you. That was the word I was trying to find. God bless you. I'm a misogynist. And so in the beginning, there's this TV sequence where he's watching all of this, you know, he's looking for the basketball game and he's at Martha Stewart and, you know, and then once he becomes sensitive to the things that women are sensitive to, then it changes and he lands on my infomercial and starts to cry. But so she said, we want him to be sensitive to the things that women are typically sensitive to. And apparently somebody high up in this movie saw the infomercial, listened to my testimonial, and she cried. So they wanted to use the clip. And here's a Richard story for you. Richard owns everything Rita and I ever did. Richard could have plastered us on billboards. There's nothing we could have done about it. He could have done anything. They reached out to ask his permission to use the clip and told him they would pay him standard day player rate, which I think it was like 600 and something, I think, at the time. And he said, I will give you my permission only if you ask Linda and Linda gives her permission and you pay her the standard day player rate. So not only am I in a movie and getting to make Mel Gibson cry, but I got paid, honey. There's the Women's World cover. Yes, so much younger. Anyway,
I understand.
But that was Richard, right? That was the epitome. He could have just said, sure, send me a check. Nobody would have even had to tell me I was going to be in this movie. But he made it so that I had to get permission. There were so many things like that he did.
Well, I want you to tell the story too about how you started working for him. You know, what happened? You were at a video shoot, an infomercial or something with Dan?
I was supposed to go to an infomercial in San Francisco. And my then husband, Dan, there was something going on with him and we couldn't figure it out. And we were doing the doctor run.
Medical stuff.
And I did not tell the production company anything about it because I was going to this infomercial. Well, as time went on, it got to be like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to leave him. So I called the company and I said, do not book my plane tickets. Do not book my hotel room. I'm pulling out. And I wasn't even the main star of this. They did not need me. Okay. I was just like, oh, and by the way, look at her. She's still keeping it off. And about 10 minutes after I hung up with Benita from Lieberman Productions, I get a phone call. Ah, and it's a sobbing Richard.
I was wondering if we were going to break down today.
Yeah, I'm already there, hon. He said, I want to know what's going on. So I told him. And he said, I am booking your plane fare. And I said, I don't know if I'll be able to leave Dan. He said, no, Dan's coming with you. So not only did he book a plane ticket for one, but he booked for two. And I said, I don't know what shape he's going to be in. And he said, if you can't get on the plane, that's okay. We got on the plane. Actually, he was discharged from the hospital like a day before. And we got on the plane. And he booked us this amazing hotel room in San Francisco. It's huge, separate rooms, beautiful glass doors.
And you had a suite.
Crystal, yes, and little crystal knobs on things. And
when you said separate rooms, I went, he didn't get one for Linda and one for Dan.
No. Different. Yes, it's a whole thing, right? It's like a whole apartment. I could have lived there happily. And he assigned a PA to be there for Dan, so that if the point came, and it did, where Dan was tired and couldn't keep going, that PA stopped and took him back to the hotel and we kept shooting. That's how amazing. And when Dan, when he saw we went down to see Richard, Richard grabbed Dan and started sobbing. Now, we all know how short Richard was, and Dan was like 6'1", and Dan was not mushy gushy, and just kind of put his arms around and patted him and looked like, really, like, I don't know what to do.
Help me.
As Richard is sobbing. Yes. And it is the last vacation that we took. Dan then passed in 2002, in December 16th of 2002. And we got all this. And this is how I got the job, because he said, what are you going to do? I was a nurse aide at the time. And I said, I don't know. I can't afford to pay somebody to stay with Dan so I can stay with somebody else.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense, does it?
That's an upside down thing. And he said, you work for me now. And he sent me his own personal laptop. Y'all got to understand, I didn't even have internet in this house, okay? I didn't know anything about this.
It was one of those fake it till you make it. Can you do that? Sure.
I am all about fake it till you make it. I've accepted more than one job and nailed it.
Mary Graves, who was Richard's main assistant at the time, she got kind of upset because he sent the computer, the only computer that had some of the original material on it that they needed.
They were going to make Richard Simmons screen savers, and they were all on this Sony Vaio laptop. That was, she was so mad. They never went forward with it, and I've always wondered if that was because of me and what I did.
No, I doubt it. There was just so much else going on, but that just shows you. See, Richard did a lot of things like that for people behind the scenes that, you know, nobody really talks about or knows, because they're so personal and individual to the people that benefited from them. And these are stories that just we tend to keep to ourselves. Not for any reason other than, you know, you don't want to sound pretentious going, oh, look what Richard Simmons did for me.
Exactly.
Just, you know.
Yes.
But he really was generous to a fault.
He was. He could have sent me money and it would have been a stopgap, but instead he gave me a job and I could stay home and work and allow Dan to die in my home, which is exactly what happened. Only because of Richard, and we didn't lose the house, and we didn't lose, and it's because of Richard. And I'll tell you my favorite funny story.
What?
At Dan's funeral, Richard sent flowers. Now, you know, Richard's over the top. He didn't scrimp on things. Plus, I think the amount of money, the flowers you get for X amount of dollars in LA is much less than the flowers you get in Defiance,
this
Ohio.
This is true, yes.
So he sent the most obnoxious flower arrangement that I had ever seen, that was the size of three other big ones.
He probably didn't realize how huge it was going to be.
And the funeral director takes me aside, and I love, thank you for providing humor in the worst situation. My dead husband's in the casket, and the funeral director says, I'm sorry, I have to ask because everybody's wondering. We saw that card when we got it and we set that up. Is that the Richard Simmons? Like, yep, it is. And got a good laugh out of that. But yeah, he was amazing. When I had my son Cameron, he sent Connie out shopping and he had little Baby Gap jean jacket.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, honey, clothes, and not the clothes I
Connie
would pick
was
up.
Connie was his a friend of ours, is still a friend of ours, and was his assistant at the time.
She got to go shopping. Yes, I have this little Baby Gap jean jacket on the in the attic and all this stuff that I couldn't get rid of. It was all amazing and stuff that I never would have purchased.
You have something that everybody probably would like to have. Before we go to break, let's talk about a sparkly shirt.
I was blessed to be asked to be in the workout video Broadway Sweat.
That's a great video. If you've not done it,
it is. It is. It's a lot of fun. And he wore, you know, he always wore a tank top for these things. So he had a purple tank top and it had the, what's the theater thing with the masks? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
he
that.
Loves those
it
masks.
It was that. I have that tank top.
Woohoo.
I
sparkly
have it.
Swarovski crystal.
I have it. Yes, with all the Swarovskis on it. Yes.
You have to bring it out one day and take a picture.
I will. Yeah. In a chest where it's been all these years that I don't know what to do with it, but it's a happy memory.
We thought of auctioning it off for the sanctuary to raise some money, but
that
then we didn't. And now I'm glad you didn't, though. I don't know if I want you to now that he's gone.
I'm torn. I won't do it until I'm ready, but honestly, it has been in a chest for years. It only sees daylight if I'm looking for something or taking something out of there. So
It's just the fact that you have it. I have some things that he gave me. I don't have everything he ever gave me because unfortunately some things broke. But let's go to a quick break. And when we come back, I'll tell how I got wrangled into this and then how Linda and I finally met. We'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
Anyone who knows me knows I am a very strong proponent for cats being indoors. But when we bring cats indoors, where I feel it's safest, we have an obligation to make sure they have a fulfilling life, that they get enrichment. And part of that enrichment is encouraging health. And a big part of that health is cat grass. Cat grass helps with the prevention of hairballs. It can help keep your cat away from houseplants. It's also fun for your cat. It's a natural behavior that your cat wants to chew, and you know that you're providing it in a safe way.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's cfacatexpo.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back with 19 Cats and Counting and our tribute to Richard Simmons. So we've heard a lot about how generous Richard was to Linda. So this is my story. Well, when I very first met Richard a long time ago, it was at the mall here in Charlotte. And I remember he called me up to work out and my legs were like jello shaking. So I don't really count that as our first meeting, but it was my first experience with Richard. After that, I don't know why, you know, I had lost a lot of weight with Richard. I did his walking tapes and his deal meal and food mover. I decided to take my mom on the Poconos weekend. He always did the Mother's Day weekend in the Poconos. And my mom and I finally lived in the same area, which we rarely did. So we went to the Poconos. And we saw Richard come in and mom's like, go greet him. So because we were sitting down to dinner, I went and greeted him. And for some reason, he locked eyes with me and he kept asking who I now know as Michael Catalano, what his room number was. What's my room number? And they looked at me and he whispered it. What is it again? And they looked at me and he said it again. And I'm like, all right, that's a message. So I said to mom, should I write him a letter? She's like, yeah, yeah, do it. And there were other people around. Yeah, do it. You should do it. So long story short, I wrote him a letter. I put my photo in. I slipped it under his door. At the time, I was also doing some unofficial quality assurance work on his new website that was about to be released. So he already knew my name. So the next day, he comes running up to me. He's like, Rita, I got your letter. I read every word and we're going to be good friends and we're going to write each other and I'm going to call you. And then he did his thing up on stage where he's like, taking off his pants. He didn't really, but I mean, it was really embarrassing, but it was funny. But we started writing each other back and forth and emailing, and I got laid off from my job. And Richard said, now you know what you need to do. You need to move out here. I was 42, 41. So I thought to myself, if I'm ever going to move to California, which was something I always wanted to do, I'm going to do it now. So I went out there. I ended up being in Party Off the Pound, which is the 80s, went into the 80s video. I'm right there somewhere, right there, yeah. Right there.
Yeah.
And then I was torn because he asked me to be the associate producer on his new podcast on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I was working full time. I had just gotten this huge promotion at the California Endowment, ordered myself a BMW. I was making really good money, got myself out of debt. But at the same time, I was starting a cat sitting business. So then I'm like, I'm doing the cat sitting business. I'm doing this. It was a radio show. It wasn't a podcast.
Right.
It was on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I'm doing this cat sitting. I got to figure out what I want to do with my life. So I took myself to Hawaii, thought about it, came back, quit my job. And because Richard had given me the job on the radio show, which didn't pay a lot, but it gave me a little confidence to know I had a little something coming in. And then he did everything he could to support me, right down to helping me name my business. And he was our only dog sit client.
Yes, your cats only, except for Richard, right?
Except for Richard, yeah. We babysat his Dalmatians. And then as the company got bigger and I couldn't do all of the gigs anymore, a couple of our sitters, you know, then went and took care of the dog. When Richard decided to retire and not have the website be active anymore, Linda was getting laid off from her job. And I called her up and I said, I wanted to build the membership site, which we now have. Yeah. How would you like to come work for me? But now we work together. We're partners in this company. We're both certified. But how did we meet?
Oh, so, you know, Richard did those Cruise to Lose. They were great. The only cruise you'll ever go on and not gain weight. And
true story.
Yes. And we were on the same cruise and we were going into one of the workout classes. And, you know, we had a badge because, you know, we had to pay Carnival to be there. But then we also paid to be in Richard's group. And those were closed off. Not everybody on the cruise could get in there.
Given this cruises for free when we worked for him. Just
oh, no.
We
oh,
paid
no.
for them.
Oh, no. Yep.
No discount either.
Yep. So Rita comes into this class. I'm already in there. And she has this elderly gentleman following her who apparently has fallen in love with her.
Yes. He wanted me to live on the ship with him.
And Richard had to tell him he couldn't be in there and shake him off. And Rita was just looking like, dude, stop following me. And it was hysterical. That was my first impression of you. That you... It's sad, all the old geezers love Rita.
I'm a geezer magnet. Yeah. Well, I was in shape. You know, I had lost all the weight. Oh, that's you and Dan.
Yeah, me and Dan and Richard. Can't see it very well in the glare. But yeah, that was the one from San Francisco.
I'll tell you. And, you know, Richard did a lot of things for a lot of people. And when, during his radio show, it was right around when the Hurricane Katrina was going on. And I know people would call in that didn't have clothes, that didn't have anything. And he would send me and Iris Goldman, who was the co-associate producer with me, shopping to get things for these people. You know, this lady didn't have any clothes. We went and bought her clothes. This lady needed a microwave. We went and bought her a microwave. He did that kind of stuff. And he didn't do it out loud.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. There was a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that people didn't know. Like, for example, I used to volunteer with an organization called Food on Foot. And some days I would go and help distribute food to homeless people. And then they always did these Christmas and Thanksgiving wish list things where, you pick something and you have to get something for someone. And he couldn't go, of course, but he had Michelle go in his place and give away whatever the person wanted. Somebody wanted a bike, we bought him a bike. Somebody wanted a radio, we bought him a radio. And Richard bought some of those things and had Michelle be there to distribute because obviously he couldn't do it. And
Yeah.
But he didn't talk about that stuff to anyone. He just did it.
No, I know of two people, and I would never, that's personal, but I know of two people whose houses he paid off. Okay.
Yeah, I know of one. Mm-hmm.
I know of two.
Yeah. The reason he doesn't talk, there's a couple reasons he doesn't talk about it. One, it looks pretentious if you say, right, you do these good deeds because it's in your heart to do them, not because you want to benefit from them. But the other thing is, I'm sure if he told, oh, I paid off so-and-so's house, everybody else would be saying, pay off mine. And then he'd be living in the street.
And he got a lot of that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, from dealing with the mail, I know, yes. But, and he wanted to answer everyone personally. He literally, 365 days a week, that man worked for years.
Now, I will say, we all went through his emails first. You, me, Elijah, some other people, because we had to call out that there was always those idiots who had to say bad stuff.
insult his sexuality and his behavior and what have you.
As far as answering, those were his words.
Oh, he definitely. Answered. 100%. Yes. I often typed his answers for him, but they were still his answers coming from his mouth. Not, you know, I didn't. Sometimes I wanted to add in my own, but yeah, you can't because, yeah, it was from Richard, right? He was amazing.
I don't know if you want to tell this story. We can cut it out if you don't. You got an email from someone you knew to Richard, actually. Do you remember that? Do you want to talk about that or not?
I do. Said a teenage boyfriend of mine, hey, Rick. And, you know, we're both grown and married and there's nothing, but he had seen my magazine, as did several of my friends that had not seen me for years and didn't know that I had lost weight. And so he wrote to Richard and was like, I think that's my ex-girlfriend. Her name was Linda Brown. I was Linda Woodson at the time. I'm now Linda Hall. Confusing.
Linda Brown, Woodson Hall.
So, yes. So I read it first and I was cracking up. I don't think Rick knows this.
He does now.
But I sent it to Richard and typing his response, he's like, I know Linda's amazing. And I'm like, I can't type this, but I did. And it was so funny. And so Richard said, because, you know, he wanted it to appear as though he got everything first, nothing went through anything. So he said, yes. I'm going to pass this on to Linda. And then when he was done answering it, he said, now you may go. So then I reached out to him and said, hi, Rick, I found out, you know.
That's hilarious.
It was very funny and it felt a little deceiving almost, but I, you know, that's how it was run and it needed to be because Richard, there were not enough hours in the day to do what Richard did. And if he would have had to comb through emails of people insulting his sexuality and his hair and his look and the things that he says and does, A, it would have damaged his mental health. Nobody can listen to that a lot. And B, he would have wasted time reading that when he needed to be focusing on others.
That's sort of like some things that happened to us. We got caught up in a brouhaha recently.
Oh, we did.
It takes focus away from what we're trying to do.
Yes.
What are we trying to do? We are building, you know, the relationship that we built over all these years and all the things we learned from Richard have gone into building Cat Behavior Alliance and the Carolina Cat Sanctuary. So I feel like Richard's indirectly or maybe even directly responsible for the lives that we're saving.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
He was the example of someone who is empathic and truly cares about others. And you can't be around that and not have it rub off on you unless you're a serial narcissist.
What was the first thing you worried about when you knew you weren't going to be working for him anymore? Is that you had a job that was full of meaning.
Yes. I was talking to people and giving them hope and supporting them and listening to them. And yeah, I could go get a job. Dan was long since passed, but I thought I was going to end up being a secretary or receptionist or something, which is not a problem. That's not a bad job. We need everybody in the workforce.
That's not your personality.
I had spent 17 and a half years nurturing people and loving people and sharing with people. And it was not in me to go be in a cubicle or do something like that. So when you reached out to me, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus.
I didn't even know I didn't know if you would respond positively. I said to Iris, who was working for JFC at the time, do you think she'd even want to do this? I don't know.
Because I got to talk to people who were frightened. It was the pet sitting business at the time.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to people who loved their babies and were scared to leave them. And I got to listen to them and their stories and vent with them and give them comfort and assure them that we were going to take care of those cats as if they were our own. And I spent time talking to people. Long time. It wasn't just intake, right? There were sometimes 20, 30 minute conversations of trying to get people
sometimes
off the ledge.
Call me in tears.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what this lady's previous pet sitter did?
So yeah.
And that's another reason why I didn't want to stay in corporate America either. Chained to a desk. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
You know, I was making good money. I had this BMW. I dressed high and mighty every day, you know, and heels and nails was my nickname in the corporate world. I can't even imagine.
There's no place in my brain that can put you in some prissy heels and nails girl.
But I was.
It's amazing.
But it didn't fulfill me. I mean, even though it was at a great nonprofit, the California Endowment was an awesome organization, still is. But there's nothing like reaching out to people. That was the sad thing when Richard's radio show ended. Lighten Up with Richard Simmons, because we were working directly with people, and Iris and I counseled people all through the week.
Yes.
People we talked to last week, people that were coming up this week. The show wasn't scripted, but we had at least one person scheduled for each hour that had the story.
Yes. Right?
And that would prompt other phone calls.
I got invited to Sally Jesse Raphael show, which
cool.
was interesting, not in all good ways. But what they did was they picked three people that had written in and, you know, help me. Mm-hmm. And they brought the person on and the person told their story. And then they surprised them. Richard came out and surprised them. And then Sally said, you know, can they do it? Why, yes, I have. Sandy Prisby was out there with me. May she rest in peace. She was.
Oh, yeah. Sandy's gone, too.
Sandy was everything. Sandy was. That was a good person. Yes, exactly. So they'd bring it out. This is Sandy Prisby. She did it. And it was Sandy's job to be the mentor to this one person. And then they brought somebody else out. And then they surprised him with Richard. Can they do it? Yes. Meet Linda Woodson at the time. And I came out and I was ready to like be this girl's best friend and help her through her. It was an amazing role.
Sandy wrote a book about her experience with Richard. Talk about the earrings. Since I brought it up, everybody's going to be like, well,
it was so funny. Sandy had these earrings and she was, if you ever met Sandy Prisby and didn't like her, there's something wrong with you.
Agreed.
Okay. I'm just saying. So Sandy had these great earrings that one was a knife and one was a fork. And she would do talks at she lived in Beverly Hills, Michigan, and she would go like to, you know, the country club or wherever, and she would do these weight loss talks for people. And she had this catch thing of saying, the secret is you have to move your feet more than your fork, and she'd jiggle her fork, and cut your portions, and she'd juggle her knife. Well, the person that she was supposed to be inspiring,
I remember this is good,
had some issues going on and supposedly had taken a knife and tried to cut her stomach off, which I am not making fun of. That's serious. But because Sandy had already gone with her planned, you know, she did her thing. And then we were on the plane on the way back and she looked at me in horror and said, did I just wiggle my knife earring at someone who tried to cut off their stomach? What did I just do?
You did.
Yeah, you did. But yes.
Oh, gosh, we could go on. We're about out of time.
Forever. Yeah.
We could do a second show with just stories like this.
Yeah. Let us know if you want to hear more. We'll be glad to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
We want the world to know the real Richard. There was a lot. He was not a perfect human being. I can't say he never hurt my feelings.
Same here. I can
say it was rare and we worked through it just as we do with any other human being. And I am incapable of talking trash about him because he really has done so much for my life, including landing me here with you.
We had friendships with him. They weren't just superficial relationships.
True.
We weren't his best friends. There were people closer to him, of course. But whenever you have a real relationship with someone, you and I have had our differences too.
Yep.
I mean, it's just part of human nature especially if you're just getting to know someone.
Yeah.
And Richard, you know, he was used to talking off the cuff and telling people how it was, you know, hey, if you don't do this, you're not going to live.
Exactly.
There were people life and death that he counseled. So I think that attitude went over into all his relationships because he took any failure of somebody to lose weight personally.
Yes, he did.
He had failed the person.
Yes, he did. And I'll tell you the biggest thing, and it popped into my head because I was talking about Sandy Prisby. Sandy was so funny. You got in the car, she became best friends with her driver. Where are you from? She's chatting up everybody.
Well, that's
the
you.
Lady that works at the front desk. Yeah, okay, it's kind of. Anyway, nobody is, I hate that, you know, they're beneath me. They're a service worker. You know, Richard was like that, as was Sandy, that it was, you know, I'm going to reach out to everyone. You're a human being.
That takes everyone. That's what I always say too. Like you go into a workplace or something, the person who cleans the bathroom is just as important as the CEO of the company, in my opinion. Otherwise, who's going to?
Every bit.
You're going to clean your bathroom?
Exactly. I want to go into a clean bathroom. So God bless you if you're cleaning bathrooms. You are doing something. It takes everybody in this world and nobody is less than. And I think that is the biggest message that I would like Richard and Sandy, while I'm on it, legacy to be, that we're all human beings in the same struggle in life.
Yeah.
And we all deserve the same love and respect. And I'm going to quit talking about it now because I can't stop crying.
I just still can't believe he's gone. Somebody sent me, went to his gravesite and took a picture for me since, you know, it's behind a locked area where no tourists are allowed, no visitors are
and
allowed.
We don't live in California.
And we don't live in California. It was just so final seeing the grave and the flowers. I just still can't believe it. Just like that, right? I always thought that we'd have a chance to reconcile. Not that we were estranged, but in a way, he put distance between everybody because he decided to retire.
Yeah.
And he was just starting to realize that he missed it and he missed people. And now he's gone.
He was so empathic. I don't think he could have kept everybody in his orbit, kept talking to them without taking their problems on personally.
No, he couldn't.
While I didn't love the way he went about it, it was his to do. And we have to respect that. Yeah. Go tell everybody you love. Because as you're saying that about Richard, I'm thinking about Sandy and her husband, Tom, just passed away too. And, you know, think you're going to see people again and you might not. Love everybody. Tell everybody you love that you love them. That is definitely.
No argument is worth it.
Yep.
I've unfortunately had somebody in my life who I've known since pre-birth. Our mothers were pregnant together, decided to cut me off over politics. Not that I'm exceptionally political. I'm not, but
you don't believe what she believes.
What she does. So her decision was to cut me off. It's life's too short for that BS.
Exactly.
And look how short. Nobody expected Richard to die.
No. Sandy, any of them.
Sandy,
Your husband. My husband, Dan, was 41. My son-in-law passed at 38. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Go spread love, spread joy. Be Richard. Sparkle and spread love.
Be the Richard in someone else's life, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that happy note, thank you, Mark, for giving us this opportunity. I don't even know if we've fully expressed how much Richard meant to us. Linda's going to go bald now. So
I'm going to go hysterical. Just
support at catbehavioralliance.com. We want to hear your Richard stories. Maybe we'll do a follow-up.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.